as they started fracking, we noticed that our water started getting black.
Pollute our waterways in order to preserve their bottom line is unacceptable to me.
And the companies will say, well, it's only a small percent. But that small percent of 4 or 5 million gallons of water is 20,000, gallons of toxic chemicals that's being injected, then comes back up out of that well, and a lot of that is stored in these frack pits in our neighborhoods. And a lot of children have been sick.
I wanted to know why it was prettier than the other water.
I tested toxic for gadolinium, uranium, arsenic, cadmium, lead, and mercury.
They were scared to use it for drinking. They were scared to use it for bathing. They didn't even want to use it for washing clothes and doing simple things like that.
The farmer that signed the lease had cattle on his property, and every day he would come up and say, what are you doing? You're not leaving any land for my cattle. He had to get rid of his cattle, and they put a restraining order on him so he could not go up on top of his own land. He has since passed away, but his family are dealing with the water issues that they have now.
Anything that goes down that drain goes directly in the stream.
Like a burning mineral smell.
Those chemical slurries have a long-lasting impact on water.
Because I saw a lot of people suffer a lot, when I went through. I had to go through the neighborhood. Nate, a lot of them didn't know me from Adam, and I had to go find out, what their water source was like. And you get into hygiene with people, they don't like for you to have nosing around, especially when they don't know somebody. And then after you find out all the problems and stuff, and then it sort of makes it easier to, realize what people go through, what they suffer for, And a lot of them didn't have the answer. They didn't have the money. One family had a filtering system on their spring and stuff and well, but it was wore out and they didn't have the money no more to replace it. So they were lost. They didn't know what to do. So that's the things you run into.
Mike, I said, what about your cows? He said, I'm selling a lot of cows too. He said, I'm going to reduce my herd to the number of cows that I can keep track of on my private land. And he said, really what's doing it, what's driving a lot of it is the fact that we're in a drought and I'm having to pay so much for hay to feed the other cows I have that I can't, it's sort of like I do all this work to manage 80 to 100 head, and then all my profit goes to buying hay for them, whereas if I had fewer cows and got what hay I can get now off of my land, and I've lost a couple fields because it's been so dry and I need to spend some time rebuilding them, so he's just getting smaller.
People thought it was strange about how excited I would get when it would rain.
There used to be hundreds of mackerel in Maine in the summers. And this summer, there were none. We didn't have any. None.
But I was coming from a framework of, rain meant no fires. Rain meant crops would grow. Rain meant people would have water to drink.
Sort of have to ask the question, what impacts could there be?
We really are wondering now, aren't we, what it means to finally be living in a world where there's no resource left fundamentally untapped.
We no longer have the vibrant yellows, the vibrant blues, the vibrant greens that we had before. They're gone.
And in my situation, it came 2 to 4 feet. It destroyed everything from the ground up.
I'm actually living in a time, which I didn't think would be the case, where there is kind of a them and us attitude within the state of Florida about the use of water from the aquifer, from North Florida where I am down to Central Florida, which is a huge metropolitan area and a big agricultural area as well. So I have great concern about not only the quantity of water, but the quality of water as well.
That only when we feel a dire sense of the proximity of the disaster do we seem to be able to mobilize enough.
That they should be able to go swim. They should be able to go fish. They should be able to eat what they catch.
And yet I think it's so easy to forget that in our day when we're moving quickly from one thing to the next and we're focusing on other things.
Water has been commercialized and is really become a luxury item.
I mean, we couldn't keep going the way we were. I mean, we needed water.
We don't pay the true cost for the water that we use.
It doesn't really matter what I do. One little thing doesn't make a difference.
There are grave and serious and systemic environmental injustices occurring across this country.
And I've seen in my time so many, many changes on the wall.
Everyone's downstream from somebody. Everyone's downstream from somebody.